I tell you what, I've truly enjoyed this meeting. I really have. And I always enjoy coming. I said, there's places, and Dr. Bryant, and of course these other fellows that travel and will tell you, there are places you'd like to go because there are oases. I'll tell you that kind of fires you up, because somewhere after you leave the oasis, you got to put on your ice skates and you skate in. Amen. And they sit and look at you like a calf at a new gate. They're trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on. Amen. But I thank God for this meeting. I'm honored to have the privilege all these years. My goodness, I think the first one I did was 99, something like that, or whenever it was, something like 99, 2000. And I'm honored to have the privilege to come and preach here on a number of occasions. I want to say tonight, I want to say to Brother Bob, I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And leading wonderful hymns. And he has a great balance that I wish, it's a lost, he has a great art that is lost. I mean, as preachers say, they got the 7-Eleven deal going. And now I'm not, you say, are you opposed to a chorus here? No, I'm not. No. But you can't lose those great hymns. You say, well, you was kind of getting beside yourself over there a while ago when that fellow was playing. I wish he'd have played that in English so we could have understood it. Amen. Hey, you say, well, you getting blessed. I was blessed. You know what I was being blessed with? A great hymn of the faith. Amen. And boy, Brother Bob always does a great job. He'll put one, there's nothing wrong with once in a while, he'll put one in, but he'll bring songs to, hey, thank God for that. And he brings us to a place of worship. I like that. Amen. And I tell you, I go some places, they don't know if they're coming or going. It's like they got their head in the sand. I don't know where they got it. But I tell you right now, I don't have a hill of me. And I appreciate Brother Bob. Give him a hand. Amen. I tell you, thank God for me. Honor those. Give them roses while they're here. Amen. And, the California Raisin does a good job on the piano. Amen. Now, hallelujah. I love you, brother. I used to have a purple suit everywhere I'd go. They'd say, hey, look at you. I said, how you like? They said, man, you ain't nothing but a big California raisin. Amen. You know what a raisin is, don't you? It's just a worried grape. But anyway. And, of course, I thank God for good friends. Probably of all the people that know me in this bit, well, Brother Ledbetter, I remember me probably, I don't know if they remember, but they remember when I was young. They came to the church, I don't know, but as far as a teenager on is Dr. Joe Bryant. He knew me before I knew him. A lot of places I go, I'm seen. And several years, I guess, went by before I really got to know him. Before we went to the island of Jamaica. And he had Brother Billy over there one time. I never will forget. Billy sat on the front row. We got there. Dr. Wisehart and all of us got over there at the pastor's fellowship that afternoon. I came around there. When you pastored the east side there in Thomasville, came down the side. I was about 15 years old, and come along the side and sat down right behind Billy Kelly. He was sitting on the front row. Them preachers are preaching, and he slept through the whole cotton picking thing. Amen. And Dr. Joe got up and started, and says, good to have evangelist Billy Kelly here. And he's sitting there. I could hear him grumbling, And he was introducing him. He said, Brother Billy, you come and sing and preach. And you come around. I thought, well, I'm going to have to gouge him. And I know how Brother Billy is. He don't want you to gouge him or shake him or wait, rouse. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? He's introducing him. He said, Brother Billy, you come. Amen. Walked up to the piano, pitched his Bible down, said, like a prodigal son, and started singing. Amen. And preached. And Lord said, me, that was back, I guess, 1981, long time ago. But I'm thankful for Dr. Joe Bryant. I sang. He sang me several times. Then, of course, I announced my calling to preach. He's always been gracious and kind to me. He's always been a blessing to our family. And I thank God for his friendship. There are people that God places in your life. And I thank God for men of God. I want to thank God for his ministry and how God has used him in my life. And my dad's been gone a while, and so I call Dr. Joe occasionally and let my frustrations out. And he, yeah, amen, Brother Terry, you know. And he kind of like my dad. He'll be, hey, God will take care of that. You just, you know, you keep trusting, keep believing. I thank God for men of God like Dr. Charles Zenas. And had a vision. Now, you didn't have to take a picture there, amen. What about now, amen? Oh, Lord. Hello. Sister. Had a vision. A burden. And God called him to a place. I've got that burden. I've got that vision. And I pray that God will allow us to build and see a great ministry built as God has blessed you with here. Not for your glory, but for God's glory. And I appreciate your humble heart, Pastor. And I'm honored that you'd love me and let a young preacher through these years stand in your pulpit. I'm honored for the places I've had opportunity to preach and share the good things of God. Of course, I got to know many of you through the years, amen, and different ones, and I thank God for your friendship. And I thank God for what God is doing in this place. And, of course, without, you know, we always talk about the man. But I'm going to tell you, Sister Enos, she's not in here now. I think she stepped out. She's back there working, and she's getting supper. Well, y'all just bow your heads. I'm going to go check on her, amen, right quick. But listen, when you see her, I saw her over there. And she's changing trash bags, working with everybody. Listen, thank God for all you workers tonight. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the labor. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for your labor of love. You've made this meeting great, and I thank you from the depths of my heart. And these men of God, I know we've already given them a hand, amen. Give them honor, amen. Thank God. I know it's already been done, but thank God for the work there. And I want to say to the youth group, I thank you for the basket you put together. It had Dove soap in it. I don't know what you're trying to tell me, amen. But anyway, and I gave Brother Steve the cigars, but anyway, I thank you from the depths of my heart. And had that Dunkin' Donut card in there. I won't eat the donuts, but I'll sure put it through the drive-thru and catch that coffee, amen, and get me on down the road a little further. Let me ask you to do some things for me, if you would, please. Pray for our support, that God would bring it in, and I believe that God is going to do it. God's own time. It may not work like we would think it should, but God's always operating on the right schedule, amen. And so you pray with us about that. And then pray for my family, and if you would please. And pray for them as I'm away in these days traveling. And of course, they'll be getting out of school and be traveling with me all the time and all the while. Through the summer, and so you be much in prayer for us as we travel and get the work of the Lord, get preparations made to head to the northwest, to Gig Harbor, and where you can come and visit us there and see what God is doing for His glory. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Revelation, chapter number 3. You heard about the two cannibals eating the clown. One of them said, "Does this kind of taste funny to you?" Y'all get that after a while. Did you hear? He's talking about mother-in-laws today. Did you hear about the two cannibals were sitting there eating supper one night and said one of them said to the other, "I don't like my mother-in-law." He said, "Well, then don't eat the soup." right, renovated. Oh, my. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I will begin reading here in this passage of Scripture from the Word of God. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Notice verse number 2 with me, please. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on this thought. Strengthening the remaining things. Strengthening the remaining things. Father, I pray tonight you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll work and through your word in our lives. God, may you be glorified. May you be exalted. May you be magnified. And all that's done tonight, we thank you for all the songs. And God, we thank you for the message, how you have used it already in our heart. And Father, again, for the music that has prepared us once again for the preaching of thy word. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us, God, to retrieve the truth. Help us to find what you have for us in thy word tonight. In Christ's holy name, I pray, amen and amen. Here we begin to see the book of Revelation is a great book. I love studying the book of Revelation. I love reading it. As we began the onset of the book of Revelation, began to speak to the churches. Here we find in Revelation chapter number 3, God begins to evaluate the church of Sardis. He begins to make some remarks. He begins to give to us his review of the church. Notice he begins in the first part or the middle part of the verse. He said, I know thy works. I know thy works. I'm thankful there's a God that knows what is going on. Amen. He's not caught by surprise. He's not caught off guard, but he knows exactly what is going on. Amen. Notice I'm thankful that he knows all about you and about me. As we begin to think about the very fact, how much does God know about us? Well, let me say to you, God knows everything about you and everything about me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, he said, I know your down sittings, I know your uprisings, and he goes so far to say, I know your thoughts afar off. Now you say, well, hey, there's no one that knows more about me than me. Well, I beg to differ with you. There's one that knows you better than you know yourself. You say, who's that? That's God. As the Word of God begins to tell us, the Word of God begins to point out. Oh, Jeremiah, he said, hey, listen, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? See, you don't even know yourself, and I don't even know myself, but there's one that goes beyond what we can comprehend of ourselves, and he knows all about you, and he knows all about me. He begins to go further. He said, I know everything. I'm thankful that he is an all-knowing God. But notice he said, I know thy works. I know thy works. What did you say? Hey, I know what you've been doing. I know what you've not been doing. I know what type of activity has been taking place, or if there has been activity, and if there's not, I know exactly what's going on. He said, I know how you're living. I know if you're doing something or you're not doing something. He said, I know, in his evaluation and his review, he begins to go through and he begins to point out the fact. As I thought about that, what if we ask God, God, would you review us? Would you evaluate us? And I wonder what God would say about our service to him. How would God respond to us about how we have are serving Him and living for Him as a people of God? And not only she began to talk about the works, but notice he said, thou hast a name. Oh, he said that thou livest. Notice he said, thou hast a name. I'm thankful I got a name, amen. My name identifies me. And listen, and people know who I am. You say Terry Lawson, people start to grin or frown or something, amen. But they get a look on their face. See, your name identifies you as to who you are. And notice, I'm thankful that we have a name. I've traveled through all these years, over 22 years now, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I travel, people, I get to know them. I forget names. I used to remember names, but I forget them anymore. And I had a young man come up to me a few years ago, and he said, hey, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, what's my name? I said, well, he said, I thought you said you remember. I said, I know who you are, but I can't. He said, I thought you said you knew me. I said, I do. He said, well, guess, what's my name? And I said, well, he said, it's a movie star. I said, well, son, I don't keep up with the movie stars and all that stuff. He said, well, it's a guy that did a lot of westerns. I said, John Wayne? he said, no, Clint Eastwood. Now you say, Brother Terry, have you forgotten his name? Hey, it's been 9 years now. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have not forgotten his name. When I see him, I say, hey, Clint, how you doing? Amen. I know him. I haven't forgotten. But listen, there's one thing about it. God knows your name and God knows my name. He knows who we are. When we come up before him, he doesn't scratch his head and say, well, who are you? But God knows you and God knows me by name. Amen. He knows us and who we are. But notice what he said. You have a name. You have a great name that thou livest. Oh, listen, what a privilege to know that your name is associated with living beings. Amen. Oh, thank God. You got a name that you've been redeemed. Amen. Thank God your life's been changed by the grace of God. I talked a little bit about that fact of remembering last night and thinking about the very fact. Do you remember the day that the Holy Spirit got a hold of you and began to shake your heart and listen, let you know and lied you to the fact that you was lost and on your way to hell? Oh, he lied you to the fact. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, he said you were dead and trespasses and sin, but he said you've been quickened. Amen. That means just an energizing bolt of power. Amen. Of the grace of God. He said you've been quickened, you've been made alive. And Peter said, because you're alive in him, you're lively stones. Amen. Built up. Thank God tonight that we can say that we got a name, amen, that we live and we know Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. Thank God. Thank God we got a name that He lives and He reigns. Because He lives, we live, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. We got a name. He said you got a name that you're alive. Thank God. Hey, because I testify of the grace of God. That's why we need to be vocal. Say, hey, I'm Terry Lawson, and I want you to know, thank God, I've been saved by the grace of God. I probably wore it out. People get tired of hearing it, but I'm not tired of hearing it. But thank God, March the 15th of 1977, about 10 o'clock that morning, hallelujah, thank God. Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit swung me out over hell, an almost 11-year-old boy, and I saw myself, I descended into darkness, and thank God, hallelujah, I bowed a knee and called on God. Hallelujah. And I was quickened and made alive in the grace of God. His blood covered my sins. But notice he says, his evaluation, his review. He said, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest. And art dead. And art dead. I began to look at that and I thought, well, how in the world can you live and be dead? What in the world? I began to study those words, art dead. And I began to look at light of what he's saying. He said, I know thy works. You're a person who's been experienced the grace of God. And you're living in victory. But you're just like a dead man. What is that word? As I began to look, thou art dead. It means there is no movement. There is no activity whatsoever. There's none. The work is not being done. When I was just a young boy, when someone passed away, we would go and show our respects. Well, we'd dress up when we went to town. That's the way we did it back in, amen. You put on the best you had to when you went to the house, the house of God, or you put on your good clothes when you went to town to shop. And everybody looked nice when you went to town. And all you had was a pair of brand new bibbed overalls, but you put them on with a nice shirt, amen, went to town. But you looked good. Now you go to town, you see everything. Sometimes you're shocked at what you see. People do. Well, anyway, let me just go there. Hey, but I remember when someone would pass away, I'd dress up. There was a funeral home there in Mount Airy, the Jones Phillip Funeral Home. Bruce Jones, he was about 6'5", and he weighed about 295 pounds. And Bernie Phillips, I didn't know him that well. He was partnership and worked there some at the funeral home. But they were in partnership, Jones Phillip Funeral Home. We would go up there to show our respects when someone had passed away. And I'd go in the office. I like to hang around Mr. Bruce. I call him Mr. Bruce. And I'd go around where he was at. And I'd say, can I help you in any way? You know, I'd go through and make sure the pages were turned on the, on the guest books. And, you know, here I was just a young boy. I just wanted to help out. Just like to be around you. Make sure that there were plenty of obituary cards and so forth in the rack. And if it was running a little low, I'd tell him, he'd say, well, here, take these back there. And I'd go back there and put them in like I worked there, you know. And I'd fix, you know, and then I'd go back to the office, and I said, tell me things that's happened. And of course, he would tell me stories. And this one particular story, I studied, it came to my mind. And I remember going in there, and he was telling this. He said, there was this fella who passed away that was when he passed away, elderly gentleman. He was sitting up in a chair, and he was like that for a few days, and until they found him, and they got him and brought him in. And he said, we were preparing him and getting him ready for the funeral. And he said, but we had one problem. We couldn't get him to lay out straight. Now, I'll not go in. I said, there, you know, I won't go into the details he went into, telling all the things that he was trying to go. You what? You know, and trying to get him to where he would straight. He said, I couldn't get it. He said, I'm telling you, well, I'd never seen anything like it. He said, so we devised some things and put them in the bottom of the casket. And he said, we got two straps. And we fixed him and strapped him into the casket. Dressed him and strapped him into the casket. He said, now, I remember the day of the funeral. He said, we was in a little white frame church house right on the North Carolina-Virginia line up there in Surrey County, North Carolina. And he said, we were up there. He said, I was standing at the back door with my back against the door. He said, one of the fellows was standing on this side, one on the other, just a small one-room church house. He said, the third minister was up delivering his sermon. He said, I don't know what point he was at in his sermon and his delivery. He said, I was standing there with my head. Now, I mean, Mr. Jones was a pretty good sized fella. He was just real easy spoken. He worked great. But he said, I was standing there, and all of a sudden I heard something go click. He said, that click was very profound to me. And he said, I knew what that click was. He said, I was standing there at the back of the church with my, he said, it was cool outside. I was standing inside. We're standing, our backs to the doors. The pews were out. That little church house was packed full of people. We were standing there. When I heard it, I just raised my head and looked. He said, when I raised my head, After that click, oh, I saw this. The man sat up in the casket. Not completely up, but he raised up in the casket. He said, that's why I encourage people, do not have an open casket funeral. Amen. I discourage them. He said, the man sat up, and the next thing that I heard was, he's alive! And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, there was the exodus from that building. They put doors where they didn't want. They opened windows that they didn't want opened. Amen. He said, I looked at the platform, and two of the three preachers were gone. He said, of all people, I thought they'd have stayed. Amen. Dead. But he had some movement. They thought he was alive. What do you say? What are you saying? We need movement in our life. We need God. Listen, we need to be busy about God's business in this day in which we live. See, America needs God. The world needs God. Canada needs God. Mexico needs God. Central America needs God. South America needs God. Europe needs God. Listen, the Ukraine and all the Russian area over in that way. Listen, hey, in Africa, the world needs God. Amen. There needs to be activity on our part. See, we're to guard against the deadness. But what he says in verse number 2, he said this, be watchful. Be watchful that you don't become complacent. Be watchful that you don't become lackadaisical in your attitude toward the things of God and your servants of God. Let me warn you tonight by saying this tonight. The easiest place for you to backslide and become complacent and find yourself in inactivity, it's in the house of God. It's right here in these pews. Because we get used to routine. We get used to things, and so we come in, we sit down, we stand up, we're in a rut, so to speak. And you still know what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. Amen. We're in that place. Notice what he said, be watchful. What does that word mean, watchful? It means to be alert. It's to be mindful. What does he say? You need to be alert. You need to be on guard. You need to be mindful of the fact that you, my friend, do not get to the place of inactivity. Notice he said the way that we, my friend, keep from getting to that place. In the next, he said, strengthen. 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 Oh, that word strengthen, when I looked at it, boy, I tell you what, it stirred my heart. It means to exercise. It means to continue doing. It means to sustain with it. Listen, my friend, if we're going to see the work strengthened, then we must exercise as believers and do the work that's at hand. Now, you say, well, I'm going to lay down right here on this platform, and I am not going to move a muscle. I'm not going to lift a finger to do nothing. And I'm just going to lay here. Well, in about a month, you ain't going to be able to do nothing. You literally will not be able to lift a finger. Brother Andrew, who had the heart attack, the gentleman that traveled with me, he's been in the hospital. He's released today. I talked to him going down the road this afternoon. He was released from the hospital, and he's headed home down to South Georgia, where God has provided them a place to live. A family there. But as I told, when he first came out after being a month laying there unconscious in the bed, Miss Andrea, as I talked to her, his wife, she said to me, she said, it's horrible, it's hurtful to see that he's not able to take care of himself. He can't even hold a pen to write. He can't feed himself. He can't do anything for himself without movement. We become helpless. We cannot even help ourselves. He says, strengthen. What are we to do? We're to strengthen the remaining things. We're to strengthen the things that remain. We just continue to practice, continue to do, and stay in the old past and live in the old way. See, all the things He said for us to do until He comes while we are here. We're to carry them out. We're to do them. Notice He said, He begins to point out, He said, these things that are ready to die, we need to strengthen them and continue the work. Amen.
as Brother Joe has already said tonight, he made mention of the verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58. There Paul begins to encourage them. He said, be steadfast. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I say to you tonight, we must remain steadfast in Christ. You say, how do we do that? How do we stay steadfast? Why should we stay steadfast as a people of God? Why should we do that, preacher? Because there is a cause of Christ. Amen. There's a cause. Notice he said in the verse number 2, he begins to point out, he said this, he said, for I have not found thy works perfect before me. Notice he begins to focus again upon the work. He said, thy works. Oh, he said, there's the cause. Listen, the work is the cause. I think about there, the scripture tells us, and we begin to look back as far as illustration to give the point validity here, and from the scriptures, we see that David, we know the story of David as he goes down to feed his brethren and take food to them. We find that David gets in close to camp, and he hears something. He begins to look out across the valley, and there's one tall individual. It's giant. It's Goliath, and he hears him swearing. He hears his blaspheming. He hears him jokingly ridiculing and every means denying the God of Israel and making mock of his God, the God of Israel. And he walks along and he looks and he sees the one in the valley. He looks and he sees the soldiers there as they're standing. And he began, he said, hey, why is not somebody doing something? Why is somebody not down there cramming a sock in that booger's mouth? Why is somebody not quieting him down? Why is there no movement? Oh, listen, my friend, he was concerned that there was nothing being done. There was no, listen, the defense of the God. Oh, amen. There was no work, no activity to quieten this one down. We find that he comes and he even goes before the king and he begins to talk to them. So don't you hear this one that's blaspheming? Hey, and the phrase that you have probably preached out of pastor, and many of us preachers have preached, and I have preached a number of times, he makes that statement, that was so profound. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that we stand for God? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I say to you tonight, listen, I'm saying to you, there's a cause for us to step forward for the Lord. Amen. There's a cause to get busy in the work of God. There's a cause, my friend, to step up and say, Lord, here I am. I'll do the work. Amen. I'll do what you have. You say, what? What's the cause? I'll tell you, it's the world. It's the people of the world. I want to say to you tonight, there's a cause for us to step up to the plate. Amen. And take the bat and knock a home run. It's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to wake up. Amen. There is a cause to step out and step forward for God. Not only is there a cause for us to step forward for the Lord, but there's a cause to serve the Lord. There's a cause to serve the Lord. A cause to serve Him. I thank God for all the ones I said earlier today, the meeting, I said, I thank God for those who were faithful and served God and have walked for God and lived for God. And they were, hey, listen, I know they're flesh and blood just like I am. Hey, listen, they're individuals that fought battles in their own life. But I began to realize this. I looked through the Old Testament. I see the individuals like Elijah. Yes, he had weaknesses and he had failures in his life. But listen, he couldn't get away from serving God. Amen. There's Elijah. What did he do? He served God. What about Jeremiah? He served God. What about Isaiah? He said, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you with all my heart. He had the heart of Christ. In Philippians chapter number, I feel a good running feet coming on. Amen. I'm getting a little happy about it right now. He said this in Philippians 2. He said there in verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which is the mind of Christ. What is it? He said he humbled himself. And listen, he endured the cross. He became a servant, thank God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying there's a cause for us to step out and go forward, but there's a cause for us to serve the Lord. As I said, we have a name. Thank God that we've been redeemed. There's a cause, amen. There's a cause. There's a cause for us to serve the Lord. God said that He had not found the works perfect. That means that we have not been doing the work with the right heart. Because we are not doing the work, He said, they are ready to die. If we don't, we talk about the churches of America. We talk about our world. We talk about the Christian movement. We as believers, my friend, we say, hey, look at this church, look at that church. When I see some of these places I've been in and preach, you know what breaks my heart? They talk about that this work is dying and that work is dying. It's because there's inactivity. Listen, we need to get off the stool of do nothing. We need, my friend, to not slack off. We need to get to the place and reach forth for the prize of the high calling of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only is there a cause to step forward for the Lord, there's a cause to serve the Lord. But let me tell you, there's a cause to stand for what is right. What is right? Everything, boy, I tell you, it's gray now. What used to be wants to be denounced and pushed aside. The old way, that's not the right way. Seems like I've read that somewhere in the old Bible, amen? In the Old Testament. They want to change. They want to modernize. And I echo the very fact of Dr. Joe tonight when he made the statement, thank God for the choir. Thank God for the music. Thank God for standing in the old past. Thank God there's some people that's willing to do what is right. Amen. So that God is glorified. Paul said this. He said, there's a cause for us to stand for what is right, holy. And to stand and be counted for God. He said this, unmovable. Unmovable. Don't listen. Planted by the rivers of water. Planted, not moved. You're not going to be moved. Because you're anchored in truth and you're anchored in what is right. Hey, listen, my friend, you're anchored in Jehovah. You're anchored in His grace and His mercy. And thank God, you're unmovable because you are rooted and grounded in Him. As Colossians said in chapter 2, I think it's 6 or 7 there, you have to look. But He said, built up, amen. Built up, rooted and built up. And Him. See, we're to be steadfast in the cause. We're to be unmovable in the cause. And when we're not able to do this, we are not able to do this apart from Christ. You say, how do you know? Well, the Apostle Paul, who was a great missionary, he said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, you're not able to stand in the cause apart from Him. You must have Him. Not only do we see, as we begin to look, we need to be steadfast and strengthen those remaining things because there is a cause of Christ. But let me say to you secondly tonight, because there is a command of Christ. A command of Christ. Now, He's found in verse number 2. I didn't deal much with that for sake of time. But He said, I've found thy works. He said, I've not found thy works perfect. I see that they're not what they need to be. I see that you're not doing. But then verse number 3, He starts. He said, remember. That word remember means to ponder, to think over. To think about. And He said, remember therefore. What's it therefore? Let's see. Let's look and find out. He said, how thou hast received and heard. How thou hast received and heard. Well, I'm going to throw that watch away. Bless God, it tore my Bible. It makes me mad. Well, we'll delete that part out. Amen. But anyway, somebody want to watch? Amen. Rip my Bible. I don't like to get it tore up, amen. Where was I? I took the spirit out of that, didn't I? Anyway, that word, notice what he said. He said, therefore. What's it therefore? Notice how thou hast received and heard. But notice with me, hey, so that word how. See, this is the manner of communication or the way that's given forth His instruction. Did you hear? It's how, that word how. See, this is the manner of communication or the way that He's given forth His instruction. See, God has not given to us His word to be ignored. He has not given His word to me to be ignored and to you. No, 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 no. But this book right here, I'm going to try it. Maybe I was thinking ahead, and that's why I got a little irritated. I was preaching a while back. I think I told you about this. And a stinking Yahoo got up. And he preached. Man, I was so mad. I was sitting on this side over here out of the auditorium. I had my wife was sitting back. She said, I could tell you weren't liking things too much. She said, you didn't like them at all. She said, when I see your head down and you're looking to the wall, I can tell you about eat up. He was up there going on a bunch. He said, well, you know, he's a putting down Baptist. He's a putting down. Well, we don't know how to do nothing. When he said, the crowd I run with, my wife told me after service, said, baby, he needs to change crowds. And he's going out and making all kinds of heretical statements that, hey, God don't have a plan for this. And how, where in the world you find this in the Bible and where you find that? And I'm over there. And finally, I just started muttering things out under my breath. Well, it's right here in the passages of Scripture. Amen. I mean, he started, you know, and he was going on and going on and going on. And I said, Lord, when I got up, my wife said she watched my face when I prayed and said I had my hands up. She said I could see the sincerity on your face and I was a praying. And nobody understood why I was a praying what I was praying because, man, I was ticked pretty good. But I was wanting God to unleash me and let me clean that old boy's plow and listen, grease him right good with the oil of the Word of God. Amen. And I was praying. I said, oh, Lord God. I said, Lord, help me not to say something I shouldn't say. God, keep me in the right spirit and keep me in the right way. Because I want, hey, you know what he told me that night? He told me he was ignorant. He told me he was unlearned. Here he's questioned the congregation. He's supposed to be a man of God. He's supposed to be a preacher. And he, listen, my friend, he's supposed to know. But he said, where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say this in the Bible? Well, I got up and God gave me grace. Amen. I wasn't mean in no means. And I said, you know what? We have questions how we ought to live, how we ought to look, how we ought to talk, how we conduct ourselves. I said, you know, God's got a plan for everything. And I said, you know, they talk about missions. We don't have a plan for missions. I said, you know what? We got a plan for everything we need. We don't have a plan to plant churches. We don't have a plan for this. And I said, but let me tell you, God's got a plan. Amen. It's right here called the Bible. Amen. And that's the book for me. Amen. God has a plan. And God has given to us. You say, how do you know? Well, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. He said, for all Scripture has been given to us. Thank God by God. It's been preserved. Amen. And it's profitable for doctrine. Amen. All these fallacies and heresies, if they would just only stop and read the Word of God clearly, they'd see that they're, listen, are on the wrong trail. Word of God is a simple book. And the Word of God, see, we get our doctrine and then it reproves us and corrects us. It reproves and corrects us. It tells us and shows us when we're wrong. Boy, I was in the motel room the other night, a few weeks ago, and I went in and took my coat off, my tie off, my shirt. I was going to, you know how you undo your belt, you know, and pull it out, and then it goes through the belt loop, you know, as it comes out. I went and I was getting around, I just, and boy, I stood to attention, amen. I thought my daddy was in the room, amen. Brought back a lot of memories. We'll not discuss those tonight, but anyway. He reproved, he rebuked me. But then it says this, I love the last part, instruction in righteousness. You want to know how to live and be the person that you need to be for God's glory? What does God have to say about it? Read His manual. Read His instruction book. Plant it in your heart. Read it in your, listen, my friend, I'll say as he said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, he said this, hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against it. Let me say to you, this is our manual how we can glorify God in our life. This is it. Now let me share two things with you right here and I'll move on. Number one, there must be obligation. There must be obligation to His Word. There must be obligation to His Word. You say, what? See, we are commanded. We're commanded to know His Word. Paul said, hey, study the Word of God so that you can rightly divide the Word of God. So that you, listen, you know when you hear the quacks come around the corner, amen. Rah, 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 you know what they are, amen. You can identify them. And you know they are false in their teaching. And they're falsely making statements that are damnable to souls of mankind. You can point them out. See, we're obligated to know the heart of... See, this is the heart of God. And if you, my friend, I was talking about the quack a while ago I'm talking about, hey, I want to say this. If he read the Word of God, he'd know where it was at. If you want to know the heart of God and know the things of God, then you must be in the Word. See, we're obligated to know the Word. But there not only must be an obligation to the Word, but there must be obedience to the Word. That's word that we've received and we have heard. He said, we testify. John said, hey, this word we've handled, this word we've looked upon, and this word was manifested in our sight. And he said, hey, we're telling you about it. And what he, listen, my friend, what he said, we're telling you. What he said, we're telling you. So you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Obligation and obedience, isn't that? No, listen. You can be obligated to something, but not be obedient to it. Did you hear me? You can be obligated to something, but yet not be obedient to it. We must be obligated to it, and we must find ourselves obedient to the very things of God. Oh, we must find ourselves at the failure of not being obedient. There's many people through the Bible that you can give illustration of those who have failed to be obedient. You say, where? Begin in the first part of Genesis and you'll find Adam and Eve were not obedient to the Word. They were obligated, but they weren't obedient. They were obliged to it, but they weren't obedient because of it. Then you come through and you find King Saul. Listen, he lost his kingdom. It was rent from him because of disobedience. You say, what do we need to do tonight? We must be obedient to the Word of God. We must be obligated to the Word of God. See, he's informed us that we're to go and tell others. That we're to go in the highways and hedges. That we're to go out into the world and give the gospel. We're to step out. See, we're to strengthen the church. The things that remain by proclaiming Him. See, His command was this. To make disciples of them. Amen. And then He goes on in Matthew chapter 28 and 20. He said this. He said, you go tell them whatsoever I have told and given to you. It's the command of Christ. See, we are to be steadfast when we are following His command. Paul said that this is what he's talking about, the last part. He said, steadfast, unmovable, but he said, abounding in the work of the Lord. See, when we are following the commands of God, God will bless us and God will move in our midst and God will do the magnificent thing that we think that can't happen and God will manifest Himself in our sight, in our midst. Spotlight, amen. Listen, my friend, God will magnify Himself. The preacher did it, amen. See, we are to hold fast, faithfully proclaiming that there be repentance on our part as we go forward and follow God. Notice with me, not only we're to strengthen the things that remain and remain steadfast in those because there is a cause of Christ. Because there is a command of Christ. But thirdly, let me give you this. We're to remain steadfast and strengthen the things which remain because of the coronation of Christ. Notice what he said at the end of verse 3. He said this, if thou shalt not watch, he said, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Notice those three words. He said, I will come. I will come. I will come. I began to look at this verse. He said, remember, we're thinking about. He said, then notice he said, hold fast that we continue to walk forward. And then he said, repent. If we're not busy, then he said, we need to get busy. And say, God, I'm sorry, and get back in the traces and begin to pull the plow and do the work. See, we need to beware. He said, I want you to understand. I want you to understand that you need to be ready at any moment because I'm coming in the hour that you think not. I'm coming back. I wrote down, I can't remember where I wrote. Somebody, they used the definition yesterday, I believe it was, of prepared. Somebody remember what that was? I can't remember. I jotted it down somewhere, but that's to be ready. Be ready. Prepare. Be prepared. You say, why do we need to be active? Hey, notice four things right here real briefly. Notice, first of all, there will be a return. There will be a return. He said this. He said, there'll be two at the meal. There's going to be two in the fields. There'll be two over here in the bed and the house. And listen, one will be taken. It's going to be a sudden event. And that's why we need to be busy in this day. He's coming back. Amen. There will be a return. He said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. I wouldn't have built a hope in you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. But I've told you that I'm coming back. I will. Here, this is a revelation. He's telling the church, I will come. I'm coming as a thief. I was out visiting just a while back. I had somebody on my heart and mind. My dad's talked to him and several times. And I went over to the house I was talking to him, and I told him, I was talking to him about the Lord and things, you know, he need to get right with God, need to get saved. The old fella, he caught his straps on his bibbed overalls, and he's standing there looking at me, and here's what he said after I quietened down after just a little bit. He looked at me, and he said, you know what? I heard your daddy preach that stuff. I heard your daddy talk about the Lord coming back. One of these days, the Lord's coming back. I heard your daddy preach it. And he said, you know what? Your daddy's dead. And then he commenced into telling me all the different preachers that he knew and people that talked to him that was dead. I said, yeah, Daddy told you about it. He's gone. Yeah, he's in heaven. He kind of chuckled a little bit. And when he finished going through his list, about time I knew he was finished, I just started laughing. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you. I said, whew, let me shake your hand. I said, I want to shake. And I shook his hand. He stuck his hand and he looked at me. I said, man, I never thought I'd ever read about anybody that I read about in the Bible. Never thought I'd meet anybody that I read about in the Bible. He said, I'm in the Bible? I said, yes, sir, Reed. I've read about you many times. I said, I never dreamed that I'd ever meet somebody I read about in the Bible. He said, what does it say? I said, well, he said, where am I at? And I said, well, it's called 2 Peter, chapter number 3. In the last days, scoffers shall come. And I said, even got in there what you was going to say. He said, you're kidding. I said, that's right. Hey, got in there. And it says this, where is his coming? I said, you can deny it all you want to. I said, man, I tell you what, I can't believe this. I mean, I can't believe it. I turned, I was laughing. I walked over to the van, opened my van door, started climbing. I turned around and said, hey, I'm still looking for you at church. And the Lord is still coming back. When I got in the van and pulled off, he's still standing there. Watching me drive out the lane. Let me tell you something. There will be a return. Not only will there be a return, but there will be a rejoicing. Boy, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I've met people, I'm going to tell you right now, said I wouldn't shout. I won't shout. I remember Billy Kelly telling one time, said this woman walked up to him, said, I'll tell you right now, I don't see much to shout about. He said, honey, till I can one look at you, I don't either. Hey, listen, I said, I'm not going to shout. Well, you might as well get prepared. Because the next thing after that little bugle blow, amen, there's going to be a shout. Have you ever had somebody, oh, I'll tell you what, you see them a-coming. Now, I would never do this, but you know, you see them a-coming, you kind of get around the corner like this, you know, and here they come, and when they get there, you jump out, boo, like that. Man, you hope! What, were you scared of the fire? You know. Hey, boy, that shout one of these days, it's going to send us 20,000 feet off the ground, and we're going to keep a-climbing, amen. Hey, when you say when we get there, what are we going to do? We're going to shout a ground glory, amen. Well, thank God. You say, why are we going to shout? Because all the burdens, the heartaches, the sorrows, and the pains, thank God, have been left behind. All the bunions and the bulges, and hallelujah, the calories will be gone, amen. We can eat all the banana pudding we want and don't have to take no shot or diabetic pill, amen. Thank God we can just blow into heaven. Have a great time. Hey, it's a great time of rejoicing. Not only will the sorrow's going to be gone, the heartache's going to be gone, but we'll meet the saints, thank God, one day that's gone on before. Those men of God that was faithful, those saints of God that prayed and bowed their knee, thank God we'll see them and we'll say, how you do? And you say, what we'll do? Thank God we'll have young legs. And I can't do much running, but I can do a lot of rolling. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we'll take and what we'll do, we'll run around up and down the side of the river. Amen. Of life, rejoicing because of God's grace. There will be a return. There will be rejoicing. But let me say to you tonight, not only is there a return, not only is there rejoicing, but there will be a rewarding. I'm talking about the coronation. Hey, he said there's a rewarding. God help me with this thing. Boy, I got thinking about the rewarding. God is going to reward us with a place that we can abide with Him forever and ever. Think about it. Hey, think about it. We're going to have, He's preparing us a mansion. Our own place that we'll have that we can dwell and be with Him forever and ever. Somebody, what they sang that song, just build me a cabin in the sight of glory. Forget that. Let's have the luxury deal. Amen. Amen. I want no cabin. Somebody said, well, you know, that's the other version. Say, it's a room. I said, well, let them live in a motel if they want to. Amen. But God said, I'm prepared to play. He's rewarded. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be rewarded with a place. When you think about who you are, hey, and you've been redeemed by grace, we don't even deserve that grace and that unmerited favor of God. Hey, we don't deserve a place, but He's going to give us a place that we can abide. Not only is He going to give us a place, not only is He going to give us a place, we'll receive, He'll reward us with a place, but He'll reward us with a phrase. A phrase. You say, why should we be active? This ought to motivate us. This ought to move us to do the work of God. Listen, there's nothing more. Preacher, I've thought time and time again. Not that many times through the years, but there's been some times that I kind of scoop bottom. They say, no, Terry never hit bottom. They don't know what I do behind closed doors. My wife's seen me hit bottom a few times. Boy, I tell you, you get to a place, you want to say, what's the use? Why go on? But then you hear those words you're going to be rewarded with. If you'll just be, he said, the man be counted faithful. If we're counted faithful and we are faithful in the work of the Lord, He's going to reward us with the phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. To hear those words, oh, listen, to hear them ring into your glorified ear. And listen, the goodness and His recognition. We don't deserve that. But He said, I'm going to reward. You know, it's people, I don't care who you are, but we like that pat on the back. We like, hey, buddy, Boy, I tell you, you did a good job on that guitar up there. Boy, I'm telling you, you're super on that. Boy, I tell you, you're a sharp-looking dude. I'm telling you right now. Man, whatever woman gets you is going to get a hunk. Amen. They're going to get a good one. I can tell you that right now. Don't you get red-faced on me. Come on. Man, you're a good guy. I'm telling you, all right. You're taking all this hangster whipping and not even saying a word. Amen. Hey, we like those accolades. We like that. Listen. We like that. It encourages us and it helps us. But you know the greatest words, listen, my friend, that can bring the most pleasure to your ears to hear those words, that phrase, well done. He's going to reward us with a place. He's going to reward us with a phrase. But then He's going to reward us with a promise. He said, because you've been faithful, because you've lived for me, because you've done the work, because you have been continuing and strengthened those things that remain, I'm going to crown you for your work. And He's going to crown us. You say, He's crowning us? Yes. He's going to reward. So listen, we don't even need a place. I mean, we don't even deserve the place to live. We don't deserve the accolades and we don't deserve that phrase and much more. We don't even deserve to have any crowns. But He's going to give them to us. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the coronation of Christ. Not only will there be a return, not only will there be a rejoicing, not only will there be a rewarding, but let me say to you, there will be a reigning. He said, I'll come. When He comes back, what are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign with Him. You say, well, preacher, now you were talking about the reign. You're talking about the coronation. What are you talking about, those crowns? Well, you say, what are you going to do with those? I want to come and I'm going to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to pronounce that, hey, you are it. I love that song, Brother Bob. Crown Him with many crowns, the King upon the throne. We're going to cast those. Thank God. If there's anything that ought to stir you as a child of God and cause you to pick up and strengthen the remaining things in these days and do the work for God, as that you'd be crowned and you can take those and you can crown Him and lay them at His feet and say, you're Lord of Lords and you're King of Kings. Amen. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. You say, what you saying, preacher? Time's running out. While time is moving, I was talking to my mother the other day. Boy, she's 74 years of age. I was talking to my mother, and I said, Mama, I said, you're 74. I said, goodness gracious, my older sister, she's going to be 56 a little bit later this year. And I said, Tony, my older brother, he's going to be, good night, he's going to be 54. And I tell people that my sister and I are grace babies. You say, why is that? Mom and Dad had two children. And when they got saved, a year later they had me. And then they had my sister. Well, let's not go there. But anyway, I said, Mama, can you believe that Sherry is fixing to be 40? Can you believe, Mama, that I'm fixing to be 42? Can you believe all the time that's gone by? And my mother looked at me and says, Terry, I can believe you're going to be 42. Please get off my lap. Time goes by. Time moves. Time is fading. Time is busily speeding along. You say, what are you saying, preacher? We need to strengthen and work while it is day, for night is soon coming. The fields are white with harvest. But there's a few laborers. That means what? There's some sitting on the sideline somewhere. We must find ourselves strengthened. The things until He comes. You say, why should we do it? There's a cause. We're to do it because there's a command. And we ought to do it with an humble heart and with the right spirit, realizing
there is going to be a coronation day. Say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying this to you. Strengthen the things that remain. Father, tonight, I pray that you will help us. I know that word is strong, repent. I know we didn't cover it tonight, but Father, we're to hold fast. We're to be faithful because our lives will give a reflection of your goodness and grace. Our lives will show forth of God's goodness. Oh God, tonight. Oh Lord. Maybe if there's one here that's unsaved, may they will come to know you and repent and give their heart and life to you. And Father, if there be one here tonight that's not been active in the work, Father, you know what's each of us tonight. I don't know every heart here, but God, you know every life and every heart. Father, help us tonight to be faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen the remaining things. Let us stand to our feet tonight. Let us stand to our feet. Brother, would you come and play a verse of invitation? I don't know if Pastor would like a song tonight or not. I don't know if Brother Bob would like to get one or what. But we'll ask our brother to definitely play a verse of invitation. My prayer is this for my own life tonight. My own life. God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be active for you. And help me to strengthen the remaining things. God, help me be what I need to be for you. There's nothing more. Listen, I don't want to sit still. I want to keep moving. I want to be active. Listen, and I want Him to take, when he returns, I want to be in the middle of a stride doing the work. I want Him to find me busy in the things of God. God, help us. That's my prayer for my own life. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, God, help me be what I need to be. Help me to love you, to serve you, to work for you. God, help me be what I need to be. Father, as our brother plays, as we prepare, God, for this time of invitation, God, you've already moving in here tonight. I feel your Spirit of God. I feel it just flooding this place. God, I pray that you'll help us to respond in Christ's name according to your will. In your holy name, we ask these things. Amen. Will you come?